from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning in our first half hour, a new study released by the Pew Hispanic Center finds that Hispanics of Latin American descent prefer to identify themselves by their country of origin rather than as Hispanics or Latinos. We'll discuss the labels and what they mean for Latino identity. Then at 9:30, parts of San Francisco's Ocean Beach have been sliding into the sea, and with climate change, the erosion is expected to get much worse. We'll discuss a new plan to protect San Francisco's coast. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. For decades, the United States has widely used the terms Hispanic or Latino for Americans with roots in Spanish-speaking countries. The Pew Hispanic Center recently conducted a national bilingual survey and found that over one half of those who are designated as being Hispanic or Latino prefer to be identified by their countries of origin, while less than a quarter prefer either of the pan-ethnic labels. This opening Forum segment, we want to focus on the Pew Hispanic Center research and really focus also on Hispanic identity. Joining us from Washington, D.C. is Mark Hugo Lopez, who is Associate Director of the Pew Hispanic Center, and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good to have you here, and we should mention that the Pew Hispanic Research Center is part of the Pew Research Enterprise. Let me begin, Mark Hugo Lopez, by just asking you generally how the word Hispanic or Latino has essentially, well, not been embraced, but for that matter, it wasn't even originally chosen by people who are so designated.
Yes, actually, the use of the terms Hispanic and Latino in the United States really comes from federal legislation that occurred in the 1970s and a directive from the Office of Management and Budget to use the term Hispanic, and later a second directive to use Latino in all statistics published about people with roots in the Spanish-speaking countries of Latin America or Spain. So there's actually an official definition on the part of OMB about what it means to be Latino. But in practice, the way that social science researchers, the Census Bureau, we here at the Pew Hispanic Center do this, is we ask people whether or not they are themselves Hispanic or Latino. Do they identify as such? If somebody does, then we treat them as Hispanic or Latino. If they don't, then we don't treat them as Hispanic or Latino.
But about 2-1, as I understand it, from your survey, show that they prefer being identified with different cultures rather than a common one.
That's correct. In fact, when you ask Hispanics whether or not they see the United States, a shared common culture among Hispanics here in the U.S., only 29% say that Hispanics in the U.S. share a common culture. Nearly 70% say that they actually have many different cultures. And I think this reflects the diversity of the Latino community in the United States. There are Latinos from all parts of Latin America and also from Spain. And that these results reflect a lot of that diversity.
There is, however, some commonality. A large percentage, I believe 87% in your study, feel it's important to learn English to succeed, despite all of the emphasis for many years that was put on bilingual education, and feel that they can do far better here as far as advancing than in their country of origin. And 1 in 5 call themselves Americans.
That's correct. On English, the question we asked was whether or not it's important for Hispanic adult immigrants to learn English to succeed in the United States. And as you said, nearly 90% said yes, it's important that Hispanic immigrant adults learn to speak English to succeed in the U.S. We also found in our survey that when it comes to, for example, even the language Spanish, we find many Latinos, nearly all, in fact, I should say that future generations of Hispanics in the U.S. should speak Spanish.
And believe it's important for them to do so.
Yes.
But you got about half of the people you talk to who consider themselves very different from typical Americans.
That's correct. And I think this is a reflection of the diversity in the Latino community, but along a different dimension. When you take a look at Latinos, we oftentimes think about diversity in terms of the countries of origins that people can trace their ancestry to. Is somebody Cuban? Is somebody Mexican? Is somebody Puerto Rican or Dominican? But there's a number of other dimensions as well. There's dimensions in terms of language. Which language do they speak most often or are they dominant in? But also there's the connection to the immigrant experience. And, of course, you'll find that immigrant Hispanics are more likely to say that they're very different from a typical American. They're recent arrivals, so perhaps that's something that you might see in a survey like this. But on the other hand, when you talk to Latinos who are born in the U.S. and whose parents are born in the U.S., you find that even among them, nearly 30% say that they are very different from the typical American.
We're talking, if you've just joined us, with Mark Hugo Lopez, who is Associate Director of the Pew Hispanic Center, talking about, well, Hispanic identity and association with different signifiers or words that identify people as being pan-ethnic. Do people, for example, from Mexico identify more with a word like Latino as opposed to people, say, from other countries?
That's a very interesting question. And there are some differences in terms of country of origin. For example, on the East Coast, which definitely has a different diversity of countries of origin than the West Coast. On the West Coast, it's mostly Mexican, although you have a large Salvadoran community, for example, in the Los Angeles area. But on the East Coast, it's Puerto Rican, Dominican, Cuban, etc. On the East Coast, you tend to see use of Hispanic more. On the West Coast, you tend to see use of Latino more than you do elsewhere in the country. But across all of these different places and different groups, you see that for the most part, majorities of Latinos or near majorities say that they have no preference for either term.
Well, it struck me that this could be a two-edged sword. I mean, when you're talking about political power, for example, and Hispanics are rated in numbers of millions, it certainly helps with the feeling of political clout. And yet, on the other hand, when you have somebody like George Zimmerman identified as being Hispanic, there's a kind of negative reaction among many Hispanics being associated with that.
It's a very interesting, comment. I think when we're talking about, for example, the Latino vote, if you take a look at the Latino vote and you look at all the different groups within the Latino vote, for example, Hispanic males, Hispanic females, people who are naturalized U.S. citizens versus those who are U.S. born, when you talk about those who have less than a high school education versus those who have a college education, across the board you see strong support for the Democrats, strong support for President Obama in a head-to-head against Mitt Romney, for example. So across the board, we see, for the most part, majorities of Latinos supporting the Democratic Party or saying they would vote for Barack Obama in a head-to-head against Mitt Romney. That suggests that there's a lot of similarity across different groups of Hispanics.
Also similarity in that whether they're born here or not, most of them speak Spanish.
That's correct. We found that more than 80% of Latinos in our survey say that they're able to speak Spanish or they're able to read a newspaper or a book in Spanish. That suggests a lot of proficiency in Spanish across Hispanic adults.
Well, let me find out what you, our listeners, think about this. And particularly, I'd like to hear from those of you who have a Hispanic identity or Latino identity. Do you prefer that identity that's pan-ethnic, or do you prefer to be identified as being from whatever country you're from? And this raises other issues, as I've been suggesting in sort of the questions I've been throwing at Mark Hugo Lopez, who is Associate Director of the Pew Hispanic Center, about the politics behind these names and just how strong the identity is with the names like Latino and Hispanic. Let me open the phone lines and invite you to join us. And whether you're listening to us on radio or internet or Sirius satellite, you are, of course, cordially invited to participate. Any thoughts you might have are welcome. Our toll-free number is available now. It's 866-733-6786. Again, you can join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you have on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and click on this segment. Or you can also go to our Facebook page and post questions or comments there. And I think the majority of people that you polled seem to feel that the word is just so diverse. When you speak about Hispanics, it brings in so many countries and so many cultures that's kind of the key to, a lot of what came out as the findings in this study.
That's correct. And I think one other interesting point to make about pan-ethnicity in the United States, particularly when it comes to Latinos, is that the idea of a Hispanic pan-ethnicity or a Latino pan-ethnicity is really a unique concept in the United States. Outside the United States, you don't necessarily hear people talking about a pan-Hispanic or a pan-Latino identity. So if you were to go to Europe and if you were to say, for example, I'm Latino, somebody might think that you are Italian or perhaps French, in addition to maybe being from Latin America. America. And if you're in Latin America, if you use the term Hispanic and say in El Salvador, you may not necessarily think of somebody from the United States, but rather think of somebody from Spain. So the use of the terms Hispanic and Latino really has a U.S. context, and it was also something that's really unique to the United States in terms of this pan-ethnic identity across all these different groups of Latinos.
You also discovered, I believe, that by a pretty considerable margin, 33% to 14%, there's favoring of Hispanic to Latino.
Yes, this is one of the findings from this particular survey, and it's actually been a consistent finding across the last 10 years, that among those who do prefer one of the terms, tell us if they prefer Hispanic or Latino, you find nearly or almost or in most cases a 2-to-1 by a 2-to-1 margin, Hispanic is preferred over Latino. And I think that reflects many of the different viewpoints of Latinos across the country and the diversity of Latinos with regards to Hispanic or Latino. While we hear Latino a lot, Hispanic is actually the term that among those who say they have a preference is preferred.
Well, we're going to go to our callers and emailers and those who want to weigh in here. But I also found it fascinating that a few of the people you spoke to wanted to identify themselves as undocumented.
That's correct. These are folks who, in our survey, we had asked whether or not they were a U.S. citizen, and they said no. We also asked whether or not they had an identification card, like a green card, and among those who were not U.S. citizens, some of them said that they were no. So when you're talking to Latinos overall, there are going to be some who are foreign-born who are unauthorized immigrants. Now, we don't have exactly a question about are you unauthorized or are you undocumented or not, but using these two other questions, we can get a sense of how many or and the attitudes of those who are unauthorized.
Here's Antonio, who joins us, our first caller. And Antonio, we welcome you to the program. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this. The program is great. My comment goes mostly towards South Americans and how they refer to themselves in South America. And the moment that they migrate here, so in Latin America, they use the term used is Latino, and everyone is a Latino. And then after that, you come and define yourself as being from a country. Now, when you come here, that terminology changes completely because now you are faced with all the baggage that word has. In the context of the American culture, and that is when that is when this word starts to break down. You know, that is when people would rather be called Ecuadorians or Argentinians or Chileans rather than a common name to tie them all together.
Well, you do, I suppose, have people who refer to themselves, don't you, Marco Hugo Lopez, as South American as opposed to say Chilean or Argentinian or.
There are some, but most people who are from South America who identify as a country of origin will say I'm Argentinian or I am Chilean. And they won't say necessarily that I'm South American, but we do have many who identify with their countries of origin who are from South America.
I thank Antonio and Carlos. Join us. You're on. Good morning.
Oh, hi. So I'm a first-generation, Mexican-American, and I've never really been comfortable with that term. A term in the past used is Chicano, and I wonder why that fell out of favor.
No, Chicano, but Cholo and Polo, and what happened to those terms? They seem to have kind of faded in some respects, Mark Hugo Lopez.
Well, this is what's interesting about identity is identity is fluid and it changes over the decades. Chicano was a term that comes out of the 60s particularly the civil rights movement. And I myself refer to myself as Chicano from time to time. My father had – I remember us going to Chicano power events when I was a kid. And that was all part of the 60s and the 70s. But since then – terms change. Things change.
Well, it's like African-American and black as opposed to Negro or colored person. Yeah?
Exactly. And I do wonder in, say, 2050, will people still be calling themselves Hispanic or Latino, or there will be another term of choice perhaps that those future Hispanics and Latinos may use?
Let me thank Carlos for the call and go to Jesus from Los Altos. Good morning.
Good morning. I've read in Roberto Rodriguez's column of the Americas that approximately 98% of all Latinos are mestizos of mixed European and indigenous blood. And I myself always list myself on the census as an indigenous person, a native person to this country. So what is the current thought as to what the term indigenous means within the Latino population?
That's a really, really good question because there are many different ways in which somebody could identify themselves. And one of the ways that the Census Bureau does this is it asks some individuals, are they Hispanic or Latino first? But then it follows up with a question about race, indicating on its directions that Hispanic origins are not a race. But more than any other group, Latinos have marked the box some other race and have written in an answer. And in my focus group work over the last few years and just talking with people around the country, oftentimes people indicate their indigenous roots in that some other race response. They'll say they're mestizo or even highlight a specific place in Latin America where they're from with indigenous roots from that particular place. So it's very interesting that when it comes to racial identity, you see even on Census Bureau forms, many Hispanics, more than any other group, choosing that some other race and writing in a response.
And ironically, you were talking about the 60s and Chicano identity. It was also a time when La Raza was a big part of identity, and there still is a group called La Raza, the race.
That's correct. The National Council of La Raza, for example, is, I think, the organization that you're referring to. But La Raza, and there was also a La Raza Unida party as well. Those were also outgrowths of that civil rights movement. And it's interesting because the precursors to many of these organizations and MALDEF as well were some of the groups that were working with the federal government to create the legislation that generated the Hispanic and Latino terms that we use now in federal government statistics. So it's interesting how all of this is, to a large extent, an outgrowth of the civil rights movement.
You still hear, for example, Richard Rodriguez wrote a book called Brown, and you still hear people of Hispanic origin or people of ancestry that goes back to La Raza type of identification talk about themselves as brown people.
That's correct. And this is one of the things that I think is really interesting when it comes to identity. I think the most important thing when it comes to identity that one as a survey researcher can do is to let people tell you what they are. And that's what we try to do in our surveys is letting people self-identify in as many ways as they would like, because we oftentimes include questions about race in addition to ethnicity, in addition to just Hispanic or Latino. And when you let people tell you, you get a rich variety of responses that highlight the diversity of the Latino community.
Mark Hugo Lopez with us from the nation's capital, Associate Director of the Pew Hispanic Center. And Javier, good morning.
I'm probably the only person who's calling in who has a distaste for the word Latino. I identify as Hispanic or Latin. And Latino, there's a perfectly good English word for it. It's Latin American. Most people don't understand that it's an abbreviation, Latinoamericano, and that gets lost in the translation. So ultimately, what I want to be identified as by others is American of Latin descent or American of Hispanic descent. And I'm curious what your guest thinks of how difficult that would be to emphasize the American part first, which is what I want to do, having been born and raised in Mexico.
That's a very good question. In our surveys, the way that we address this is we do ask a number of questions, one of which in this particular survey was, which term do you use most often to describe yourself? And one of the options there was the term American. We find, for example, that among – and this is from a previous survey – that among native-born Latinos, virtually all have used at some point or another the term American to describe themselves. And that suggests that many of the native-born Latinos see themselves as part of the United States, as American in many respects. But when it comes to which term they use most often, we find that while about 20% say they use American most often, the majority use their country of origin term or their families or their ancestry to identify themselves. But it just also speaks to, again, the diversity of terms that people use to describe their identity.
And a listener writes on our web site, you can put your comments on there, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, writes, the term Latino and Hispanic as a term privileges the Spanish-speaking history of the Spanish conquest of Latin America. Indigenous culture had a huge influence, too. My girlfriend identifies as indigenous Mexican but does not identify strongly as Latina because that ethnic qualifier is simply not an accurate description. That puts her identifying culturally as much with Native Americans as other people in Latin America. The term Latino ignores the eternal diversity of Latin America regarding the fact that there are many different cultures, such as indigenous cultures, many of whom still do not know Spanish in their home countries. Latino refers to people of many different races and cultures, even though there are some commonalities. Another comment on the web says, this fixation of ethnic origins or country origins is disturbing. We all know what that led to in pre-war Germany, don't we? It is not difficult for right-winger elements within an ethnic group to co-opt the ethnocentric predisposition to cause members of the group to become racist. The inevitable result of ethnocentrism is that members become both the perpetrators and victims of racism. We'll go to more of your calls. We'll go up to Napa and welcome Walter. Good morning.
Yes, thank you. You know, my father was born in Chile. My mother was born in Guatemala. And I can still remember as a freshman at UC Berkeley attending a La Raza meeting. And I never felt more out of place in my life. I did not look like anybody in the room. I didn't speak like anybody in the room. I didn't have any of the same similar experience. And that's when it dawned on me that these terms coming out of the good intentions of the federal government to protect a class of people are based on race, and yet they are not terms that are racial in any way or have any ethnography behind them. They are purely geographical, if you will. And I think it's done a great disservice if we want to move to a raceless, colorless society for the liberal intelligentsia to continue using these terms, either to classify people, to quantify people, to use a part of the census, or to encourage, you know, subtle quasi-affirmative action programs to continue pigeonholing people, when in reality, it does a great disservice to new Americans, to second-generation Americans. My son is fair-haired, blue-eyed, and yet he can trace his ancestry back to Europe through many Latin American countries. Does he need special protection?
Well, there are a lot of blonde, blue-eyed Hispanics. I don't know if you want to comment here, Mark Hugo Lopez, just on the sense of concern about balkanization and racism and that other comment from a listener on the website.
It's all very interesting, but what I would say in terms of thinking about this is that these terms that we use are all terms that people self-identify themselves as. And one of the interesting things that's also present in Census Bureau data is that there are some people who can trace their roots to Latin America, for example, or to Spain, but do not consider themselves Hispanic or Latino. They say they are not Hispanic and they are not Latino, yet they can trace their roots to Latin America. So these measures of identity that we're talking about in our report are all identities based on self-reports. You're Hispanic if you say you are. So somebody could have an Irish background and say they're Hispanic, for example, and they would be considered Hispanic in one of our surveys as an example.
Or now, somebody could say, somebody could say they're Hispanic and be, as the some of the comments have suggested, from a lineage that's conquistadores, and somebody can say they're Hispanic and be from a lineage that are essentially indigenous people.
That's exactly right. I would also highlight, though, that when it comes to the federal government and its legislation, Hispanics are the first and the only ethnic group to be identified in this way, to have legislation specifically designed to collect information about them. It's the only ethnic group that has this particular support from the federal government in terms of a law out there.
We'll try one more call, and that's you. Dimitri wants to know why Brazilians aren't included, well, they're Portuguese, I guess. But go ahead, Dimitri.
Yeah, hi. My question is basically, he keeps mentioning that Spain is included, and it seems to me that Brazilians have much more in common culturally with other people who live in Latin America. I mean, Brazil is the biggest country in Latin America. Why is it that Brazil is excluded in this category, but Spain is included? And I say this as first-generation American whose family is Brazilian.
That's a very good question. In the surveys of the Pew Hispanic Center, if you say you're Hispanic, we count you as Hispanic. So if somebody has Brazilian roots and they say they're Hispanic or Latino, we will include them in our surveys. We don't exclude them. The official definition from the Office of Management and Budget, however, for the term Hispanic, does not include Brazil or Portugal. That was a decision that the federal government made.
And Mark Hugo Lopez, if people want to see the report, can they read it online?
Yes, it's available at www.pewhispanic.org. That's P-E-W, hispanic.org, and the report's right there.
And again, Mark Hugo Lopez from Washington, D.C., Associate Director of the Pew Hispanic Center. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And when we return, we're going to find out about Ocean Beach and rising sea level and erosion. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.